Our reading for Thursday, June 25th, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except by agreement for a limited time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each one has his own gift from God, each one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at that time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who is called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, from the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. This reading was quite a bit longer than the last few have been, but let's take some moments to take a look at chapter 7. Now, he starts out in chapter 7 saying, concerning the matters about which you wrote. So apparently there is a question, or maybe even a series of questions, that was asked to Paul, and he's answering those questions. Personally, I'm curious about the questions, but you know that I'm just curious that way in general. I think most of us are. We would like to see more of the story. But I also trust the inspiration of the scriptures in not giving that to us. We don't necessarily have to have the questions in order to be able to discern what Paul is talking about. So he says, concerning the matters about which he wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Now, he's not trying to address fornication, sexual immorality. He's addressing a question, and I think based on the context that the question had to do with whether people should be getting married or not. He makes a few references to, you know, the times that are going on and some of the considerations that might be involved, and perhaps some of those considerations were given at that time as well. But verse 2, he clarifies, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So Paul was somewhat unique. I realize he's not completely unique because there are people that just don't have as much temptation toward sexual attraction that others do. Paul was able to dedicate all of his efforts, all of his energy toward serving the Lord, and he remained single in order to do that. And he advocates that position within the chapter, that's a good choice to make if you can make it. And he makes that very clear, that that's not the case for everybody. And in my experience, I would say that's not the case for most people. There are some. Now, I'm going to insert my own thoughts in here. I have known people that have chosen not to get married, and they have lived out their lives perfectly happy. That's not the issue. What Paul is talking about is taking all the energy that would go into maintaining a marriage and putting that towards serving the Lord. He's not saying, remain unmarried so that you can have more time for hobbies and anything else that you'd like to do. No, he's saying, dedicate that energy and time to the Lord. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5 is addressing whether those that are married should stop having sexual relations with one another. He says, no, that's not correct. You owe something to each other. You owe something because you don't want your spouse to be tempted with sexual immorality. And you owe something to them in that marriage relationship. And I would say there's lots of things that we owe our spouse in the marriage relationship. Sexual relations is just one of them. You owe the honor, for example, husbands, you owe the honor of treating your wife as the weaker vessel and caring for her in a loving and understanding way. Peter gives that instruction. But here he's specifically talking about sexual relations. And so he says, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement. In other words, you both agree for a limited time so that you can devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you. Now, Paul shifts just a little bit here. Verse 6, he says, now as a concession, not a command, I say this. Here's the thing. A lot of people accuse Paul of being one who gave all opinion. In other words, for example, they don't like his instructions regarding women keeping silent in the church. And so they say, well, that was just Paul's opinion, and he just didn't like women. Well, chapter 7 here makes it very clear that when Paul gave his opinion, he made it clear that he was giving his opinion. There's no doubt about it. He says, not the Lord, but I. Okay? Not a command. I say this. And then later on, he makes the clarifications again. So he says, I wish that all were as I myself am. That is, single. Able to devote all of your energy and time to the Lord. But each has his own gift from God. So not everybody would be able to do this. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. Well, later on, when he writes to Timothy, he says young widows ought to remarry. So what's the case? Well, he has that clarification built in. If this is an option for you, if you can do it without temptation, if you can handle it. So the point when he writes to Timothy about young widows is they need to keep themselves busy so that they don't fall under the influence of Satan. We get down to verse 9, and he says if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. So if they're not able to resist those temptations, then they need to use the God-given outlet to handle those desires. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I also want to clarify that Paul is not, you know, saying that marriage is a bad thing. Marriage is a gift from God. Eve was made for Adam. They became one flesh. That was something that God did, and marriage is an institution by God. So Paul is not saying that it's a bad thing, but he's saying if you have some choices, your life is better spent dedicated to God rather than maintaining a marriage. Now, verses 10 through 16, he begins talking about whether they should separate or not. And sometimes this is taken as general instruction regarding marriage rather than what it is, which is these people had come to the Lord, and some of them apparently were unbelievers married to believers. And they're wondering what to do, how to handle that situation. They didn't marry afterward knowing they're marrying an unbeliever that would hold them back. So he begins giving this instruction. So keep that in mind as we move forward, that he's not giving general direction, but he's addressing specific situations. So he says, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. Well, we know from the Lord's teachings on marriage that adultery is the only reason for a divorce that is legal, if you would say. In other words, if your spouse commits adultery, then you can put them away. You don't have to put them away, but you can put them away. And if you are the innocent party, you would have the right to remarry if you choose to do so, as long as the other person has the right to marry as well. So we understand that he's not changing that instruction. He's dealing with this situation. But he's saying that if she does separate from her husband, if it's an untenable situation where they can't get along, they cannot maintain that marriage, then she should remain unmarried or go back to her husband. He's not talking about divorce, and he's not talking about remarriage. He's talking about separation and being reconciled, going back to your spouse. To the rest, I say that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. You can't force somebody else to stay, but he's saying if they're willing to stay, then your marriage is intact. You keep going. Verse 13, if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. Just in case there's any question about which side you might be on and whether that might be different, he gives both sides. Verse 14, the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife. The unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. He is not saying that by being married to a believer, the unbeliever becomes sanctified and saved. That's not what he's saying. He's simply talking about the marriage relationship, the legitimacy of children. So don't be confused by that. That's all he's talking about. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. If in such cases the brother or sister is not enslaved, that is not enslaved to go chasing them down to try to force them to stay. Again, you can't force somebody to be in a marriage they don't want to be in. Verse 16, for how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Not directly pointing to the situation in verse 15, but in general, with all of this, by staying with an unbeliever, by being peaceful, you have the opportunity to try to save your spouse. Verse 17, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. Now, I think that's going back to his point about, you know, some people can remain unmarried, some people can't. Whatever situation you're in, then lead that life. That's what you're doing. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? He's just using an illustration here. Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. It's not possible to remove them, but he's saying you were that way when you came to Christ, so you just stay that way. There's nothing you can do. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. That one they've got more control over, but they still choose to remain as they are. Verse 20, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't be concerned about it, but if you can be freed, then avail yourself of that. Verse 24, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Then verse 25, a related subject, but in and of itself a separate one, concerning the betrothed. So when you see the word betrothed, usually that is an unmarried person that is given or promised to another unmarried person for them to get married. So we would call it being engaged. This could also be translated as virgins and could then be referring to fathers looking for a husband for their virgin daughters. And so then they would be looking to be betrothed. And here again, he clarifies himself. He says, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. So he says, I'm going to give you my opinion on it. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Now, regarding this present distress, if we take the timeline that I've been using as being correct, then Nero has recently become emperor, and he has probably begun his persecution of Christians at this time. So, if that is correct, then that is probably what the present distress is talking about. However, I want to make very clear that I don't know exactly what the present distress is. It's most likely speaking of persecution. He's certainly not talking about an impending day of judgment. So don't look at it from that perspective. He's talking about the things that are going on or about to go on. It's good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Don't seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Don't seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. There's nothing wrong with you marrying. But if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. If it is persecution, and your family is threatened, and you're told, I'm going to kill your family if you don't renounce the Lord, then that would be a greater distress upon them than if they had been single. You're just using that as an example. I'm not saying that's exactly what Paul is referring to. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, those who mourn as though they were not mourning, those who rejoice as they were not rejoicing, those who buy as though they had no goods. In other words, you know, be smart about lessening your burden is basically what he's saying. I want you to be free from anxieties, verse 32. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. I agree with the statement. I agree with what Paul is saying. As a married man, I understand the idea that we're going to be concerned about worldly things, how to please the wife, how to take care of the family. And yes, that does divide interest to a degree. However, I'm going to add to that. I'm going to say that if you've got a believing spouse, that the two of you working together can be an incredible blessing. There is no reason to think that because you are married today, that is holding you back from serving the Lord, especially if we are talking about a couple that is faithful together. So let's see, verse 35, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. He's not trying to give them a great burden. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. It is not a sin for them to marry. But if they are firmly established in their heart, being under no necessity, in other words, their passions are not burning within them, having his desire under control, has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Both are approved by God. Both are free of any sin and free of any judgment upon them. I realize today that there seems to be a stigma behind never getting married or never being with someone, staying single. That doesn't have to be so. And certainly we should not be judgmental over someone because they do not get married. That is completely their choice. And Paul is saying it can be a good choice if you use your single life properly. Verse 39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. So that closes out our reading for today. I hope this has benefited you. I know that chapter 7 is one of the more difficult chapters to work through, and I hope I haven't been a source of confusion. If I have, certainly reach out to me and I will try to make some clarification for you. I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.